welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord for this time we're able to share together every day, Monday through Friday, on this station. Yesterday, I began a message, and I chose to open with this scripture, Hebrews 13 and 8, which declares Jesus Christ the same yesterday, comma, and today, comma, and forever. And many Christians affirm that statement without hesitation. We understand Jesus, the historical Jesus. Even the secular world understands that. I mean, they know that He transformed a nation, that He was persecuted, that He died. He was definitely a historical figure. And what He did, that it's been documented, Josephus, it's been written about. And we understand as Christians that He spoke the worlds into existence. So, of course, He exists forever. But the important thing is to understand the heart of God. Why was Jesus manifested? What did He do? And we can see that He went about doing good and destroying the works of the devil. That was his purpose. He came to set people free. He was the promised seed of the woman that after Adam and Eve sinned, remember the Lord said, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent, which means Satan. And it was fulfilled in the historical coming of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus went back to His Father, when He ascended 40 days after His resurrection, the disciples viewed Him ascending to heaven, and He went to sit at the right hand of the Father, ever living, to make intercession for us, that He is returning. He is coming again. But the same nature, character of Jesus has not changed. What He did then, the works that He did, the Word says, the Scriptures, even greater works shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. He wanted the gospel, the message that He came to bring, the good news, that's what gospel means, to the ends of the earth, and then the end shall come. And so we are approaching, after close to 2,000 years now of man's history, where Jesus came and His truth was revealed, that He, and we, as we look as the prophets, the major prophets and minor prophets describe the time of the end, we're getting close to His return. No man knows that. And I think God did that purposely. I mean, there's the pre-trib and the mid-trib and the post-trib and there are variations in between. The fact is, the Lord makes things very clear. There's nothing ambiguous about the Ten Commandments, is there? It's pretty straightforward. And I think that we cannot pin down the actual day. It's dangerous to do that, of when the people have tried to do that, of when the Lord would return, because our understanding of that should be fulfill the Word of God, do what He requests, and watch and be ready at any point in time, because we don't know the day or the hour. We can know the season. We're certainly approaching that, but God wants us always to have our lamps trimmed and our lights burning. And that's so we can welcome the bridegroom when He comes. God's preparing a bride without spot, stain, or wrinkle. We're living in very exciting times. The world is growing darker and darker, but it's a wonderful time to be alive as a Christian. And Having said that, we want to, and we need to pray, beloved. Some of you, if you've been listening for a time, you're mature Christians, you understand. You've heard a lot of good preaching. You've been in good churches throughout your life. You understand that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. He hasn't changed, and he has empowered his church to preach the gospel, to do the works that he's called us to do. Hebrews 13:9 says, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines." Now, in Colossians, that very first chapter, verse 9, we find the Apostle Paul writing to the saints and to the faithful brethren in Christ at Colossae. So Colossians 1:9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." This is what Paul is saying. And in fact, he opens that first verse by saying, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at the church in Colossae." And what he's praying is that, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, God's will, in all wisdom and understanding. And I'll read verse 10, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing." In other words, to please him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I just can't stop. Verse 11, "strengthened," because he's going to do that to his people, "with all might, according to his glorious power." He's going to give you strength, "unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, with which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light," I can't stop, "who hath delivered us," this is all he's done, "from the power of darkness, and hath translated us," hallelujah, glory to God, "into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Praise God. Well, it keeps on going. They have colons and semicolons, and but those scriptures are powerful, because that's what Paul's desire. He knew his time on earth was limited, and he was just burdened for the church. He didn't cease day or night preaching the gospel, being concerned about those that had received the word and how they were doing. And so he prayed that the most important thing is that they would have a knowledge of God's will in wisdom and in spiritual understanding. Now, the Apostle Paul was desiring that they be filled. This is the important thing. Not just hear about, but actually be filled with the knowledge of Christ's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In other words, not just to have head knowledge, but they would actually experience in their day-to-day lives, regardless of whatever endeavor they were involved in, whatever their work situation, their family, their personal situation. And that's just as true today, that we need to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. We have a general knowledge of it, of course, through the Word of God, but specifically as we pray daily and seek the Lord, that he will give us wisdom and knowledge and how to proceed. This is the way, walk in it, that you don't turn to the right or to the left. He will show us. He's a very personal God. So he wants us filled with wisdom and spiritual understanding. He was, Paul, going back to speaking to the church of Colossae, he wasn't desiring that they be filled with his knowledge, even though he was a very learned and scholarly man. The apostle was speaking about Jesus Christ. In verse 4, we find Paul stating, "since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ." And in verse 9, "since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Not only to understand, for example, what the word, the scriptures say, but that we would have the divine wisdom and spiritual understanding and insight to really fully understand, to grasp in a spiritual way, not just with our minds, the totality of what God is saying. And those of you who walk with the Lord, I mean, you can read a verse that you've read many times before, and all of a sudden you see some new thing you didn't see before. That's because it's the living Word of God. And that's the one thing the Lord gave to us as our guide. There are many persecuted Christians today. They may not even have a pastor, but if they have the Word, how they cherish that, because that is God speaking to them and giving them enlightenment and strength and courage for the road that they're on. So in John chapter 1, verse 14, it states, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." John was taught, he was eyewitness to Jesus and his miracles. And he goes on to say, "The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We can never understand the Word of God, beloved, in the light of spiritual truth with our carnal minds. That's why unsaved people, they read the Word of God, and it just doesn't make sense. They don't understand it because they're carnal minds, their natural minds are darkened. The enemy will prevent everyone or everything from trying to grasp and understand the simplicity of the Word of God, the revelation of what God desires for mankind. We must know that it is given to the disciples of Jesus Christ to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That's each and every one of us. You don't have to be a Bible scholar or a theologian. John was referring to the Lord's earthly origin. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he therefore was not declaring that Jesus Christ was a created being, not just like a creature like you and I, but was from the beginning with the Father, and in fact was the creator of all things. Praise God. There are many people that say, you know, atheists believe Jesus was a moral teacher. They approve of his teachings. They don't have a problem with his moral system, but they don't understand or acknowledge him as the living Son of God. Well, I'm going to have to stop here, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining me. And if you have prayer needs, I invite you to write, or you can by letter, or you can send an email. And I will confirm receipt and pray for your needs. And if you would like a letter of encouragement, which God has blessed the Ministry of Correspondence for so many decades, since 1965, basically, that and God speaks, I pray about what God would have to be a blessing to you. So I invite you to write, and I thank you for your listening, and I thank you for your prayers. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.